Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
We hope you're having a fantastic one out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Good stuff coming up for you. Got some That Ain't Right stories. Good stories of the day. We're going to talk about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Got them all coming up. But just a couple of quick hits here for entertainment news. I find some of this stuff interesting, just some of these stories. So we're just going to touch on some of them. There's not a whole lot of digging that we need to do into all of them, though.
Mm.
So just to kick off right away, whoever is bothering Selena Gomez, you leave her alone.
Yeah.
Knock it off right now. I got late to the game of Selena Gomez. I didn't know how talented this young lady was and everything, but seeing her in Only Murders in This Building with Steve Martin and Steve Martin Short, she has held her own. She has done great. Those two individuals who I've looked up to my whole life love this young lady, and she is incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. So you leave her alone. No. So Selena Gomez brushed off online body shamers following her red carpet appearance at the Golden Globes on Tuesday. The singer, producer, and actress, an entrepreneur, took to Instagram with her date, her little sister, Gracie Teefy, to talk about her body positivity. "I'm a little bit big right now because I enjoyed myself during the holidays," she said. I mean, right? Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Supporters were quick to defend Gomez and talk about her, but there are a lot of people that were shaming her before this because she didn't look any different to me. Like, she looks like the same, essentially. Like, I don't know what they were talking about. I don't know. But let's say she gained 100 pounds. What's it your business?
Yeah.
Like, what does it matter? Like, it's one of the most ridiculous things in society is the fat shaming or the body shaming or any of these things. And the majority of people doing this, look in the mirror, man. Like, what do you got that's so good that, like, even if you're a supermodel, picking on somebody else's body is ridiculous, let alone half of society that is doing this are people that, like, definitely should I mean, work on your own self before you start to take out other people here and everything. I'm a little defensive here.
They're not probably ones that are going to be in front of the camera.
No. No, and I'm sorry, and I am not expecting empathy for this one or sympathy even at all. Whether you do or you don't, every actor knows what they are signing up for.
Okay, maybe, but body shaming, picking on somebody for how they look, that should not be okay. Ever.
No, I was good. If I could finish,
sorry.
That's what I was going to say. There's a line, though.
Yes.
We understand when we go into this, and a casting agent, I just got done with an audition last week, and the casting agent made me feel this big because of my nose. Like, I've had this happen my whole career, but I signed up for this. I understand that. That's a casting agent. I get what they're doing. Now, what I was going to say is exactly what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Is society, the way that they react to these things, the way they treat us, the way they treat people, tearing people to shreds over these things and stuff. Like, that's really, that's tacky. That it's, to me, it's the same thing as the TMZ stuff. Like, nobody signs up for that. That is not kosher. That is not cool. We shouldn't have allowed that in our society. The fact that we embrace this stuff that people look for what is the show on here after your 6 o'clock news or whatever, news or whatever, and all these
entertainment
things.
Tonight.
Yeah, all these tacky, nasty shows that just all they're looking for is, hey, what couple isn't getting along? Who put on 5 pounds? Who's got a pimple? You know, I mean, these things that all they want to do is tear people down. That's all it's built for, is to tear people down.
You know, I almost wonder, James, if we don't do this as a society because we are so busy doing it to ourselves. We're so busy beating ourselves up over how we look and how we feel about our bodies that people who, for a living, put themselves in front of a camera and entertain us, that it's really easy to project that onto them.
And I think we have a winner, everybody. Sorry, I'm trying to find a way to lighten the mood because I got a little edgy there for a second. But I think you're absolutely right, Melissa. I think that there's more of that going on in the world than we even realize, of self-projecting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we bring attention to these things, hopefully we do a little bit better job going forward of actually doing them. Because I do think that it's easy for people like me to point the finger and blame, but there are three more pointing right back at me, and I might be guilty of these things too at times.
We're all human. We should be appreciated and loved for what we can bring and what we do and our actions. Not, you know, I mean, yes, Selena is in some ways celebrated for how she looks. Mm-hmm. But that's not the entirety of her. So if she has 5 extra pounds, so what?
Well said. And nothing I can add to that one. Ron Howard wants a Backdraft TV series. The movie Backdraft came out some years back in 91. It was a firefighter movie starring Kurt Russell and William Baldwin. I haven't seen it in a while, but I know it was one of my favorite movies when I was younger.
And it was really big in its day.
It was like, it was at the time, I don't think there had been a better movie when it came to trying to put yourself in the feet of shoes of a firefighter.
A firefighter, yeah.
Ron told Entertainment Weekly, quote, Backdraft would be really good. You could get the scope and the intensity that we had to do all in camera. Now we could do it efficiently and safely.
Mm.
We were kind of on the borderline there when you throw the safety question into what we were doing. I was so relieved when we wrapped, but now I believe we could tackle it and be just as ambitious visually and be a little safer.
Oh, because of CG?
Yeah. He clarified that a series is not in the works, but that producer Brian Grazer, his partner in crime, did Arrested Development and a million other things together, talked about it from time to time. And if it were to happen, it would be Ron's third movie to become a series.
Hmm.
In 89, the 89 movie Parenthood was adapted into a series in 1990 for one season, then a second time in 2010 for 6 seasons. And of course, most recently, 1988's Willow is now a Disney Plus show.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's a smart move that a lot of creatives are doing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work, but man, I would love if they did this.
Mm-hmm.
I am a sucker for anything involving firefighters. I always say that and the Old West. Like, those are two things that pull me in every single time to a movie or a TV show. I don't think we have enough. I don't think we do enough talking about our firefighters and all those things. And I'm not talking about a TV show like Chicago Fire, where it's just pretty much about will they or won't they sleep together or something. Like, that's not what
The drama.
Yeah, I'd like to see something a little more based on. And I shouldn't pick on that show. I've never seen a whole episode, so I don't know how much they cover that. I just know what people tell me. And my agent tells me, honestly, when I've talked about auditioning for those shows.
Okay.
They need
the accolades and the honor. And a lot of firefighters are volunteer. You know, a lot of our fire stations across the country. And in Wisconsin, we don't have enough firefighters.
So
we don't have enough funding for fire stations.
Yeah. The more attention, maybe it takes a TV show to bring a little more attention to these things. And people will, you know, maybe start helping a little bit more with this stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to wrap up our entertainment section talking a little bit about our friends over at our theater in this area, really.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about two great companies, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and Central Wisconsin Theater. Theater Association.
Yes.
They're both got great things coming up and are going to be joining us on Director's Cut and the morning show here. I'll do this chronologically.
Okay.
So let's see. Coming up with CWAC. They have 1974, February 3rd through the 5th, and February 10th through the 11th. This is a comedy written by the great Mike E. Egrin, a local favorite of ours around here, of course. Looks really good, and if Mike wrote it, I can almost guarantee it's going to be good.
Yes, a very good friend of mine is in it as well, Christopher Bongan.
Oh, right on.
And he's
an
awesome actor.
I was talking with Amber Fate, who I kind of helped me coordinate these interviews with our CWAC friends and stuff. So we're looking to have them on Director's Cut. Either this week or next week, one or the other, we're going to have them join us. I'm looking forward
good.
To that.
That'll be fun.
You can find out more by following them on social media. Just type into your search bar Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, or you can go to cwac.org. That is CWACT.org, cwac.org.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater have some great things going on. I have been hearing from Moselle about the work that they've been doing on Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Yeah.
Man, they are excited about this one. This is in their edgy studio theater director's showcase. Mm-hmm. It's a part of that. It's coming up January 27th and 28th at 7 o'clock. You know the movie. This play is going to bring you a different angle, a different side of it, while also, you know, giving you the spirit of the movie.
Mystique, it's a full three-act play.
Yes. Yes. Mystique McAmoner directed this, mm-hmm. and one of our better directors in this area. Also is acting in the play as well. Mystique and Moselle are going to join us on Director's Cut this week as well.
Nice.
And I think that will be on this Sunday's episode.
Awesome.
So looking forward to that.
Yes, I got to stop and buy tickets today.
I'm so happy for them and so proud of this. Mm-hmm. Not only them, but the work that you did in the director's showcase that all of our performers are doing.
Yeah, what they're trying to build and develop there for the showcase theater is exciting because it is it's a side of theater that we don't often get to see in community mm-hmm. theater level because people want comedies most often.
Yeah.
You know, they want to go, they want to have a, and I should say not just people, like, the majority of people.
Sure.
But there's this subset of theater lovers who want to go see something that's a little more edgy or that discusses the topics in life that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, but that we don't necessarily always talk about or want to face. And this helps get those conversations going. It gives you empathy for situations. It you get into the meat of issues.
There's a reason there are 9 Law and Orders and 9 NCISs in right. those things. They're great shows. They are what they are. You don't have to tune to, you're not going to watch those and see Shakespeare or be completely maybe blown away by a plot point or something. Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be just entertaining enough to keep you engaged and enjoy the show. There's a reason people still come and go see all the big hits, the mm-hmm. Oklahomas, the big ones.
Right.
It's not that they want to come and see something new. They want to see something that they're familiar with. That
right,
is a nostalgia.
That they love, that they know. They know the songs for.
So you're
the
right.
Storyline.
People like comedies. They like those things. And just like there's a subset of that, there's a subset of people that want a little bit more. That want a little
something
drama.
Something like The Queen's Gambit. That's only a 6-episode miniseries.
Yeah. That's entertainment, mm-hmm. and that all of it's okay. There's
right.
none of it that's wrong.
You want all
of
the facets
good.
Of it.
So that's why this is so cool that you get your main stage shows like A Streetcar Named Desire mm-hmm. on there, a classic, mm-hmm. a well-known play.
And that's coming up in March, I believe.
Yep, and then you get shows like this in the director's showcase. Again, the Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf premiering January 27th and 28th at 7 o'clock in the Studio Theater over at Centralia Center at the WRCT Studios.
Just 2 nights to get to see that show and a limited amount of seating, too, which is why I got to stop and get my tickets today.
The amazing gang over at the Silver Fox has got their old-time classic radio theater, Roses, Romance, and Valentines.
Oh.
Coming up February 9th and 10th, they'll show will have a matinee on the February 9th at 2 and at February 10th at 6.
Nice.
Silver Fox's style, prepare to feel the love and join them on February 9th at 2 and then February 10th at 6 in the WRCT Studio Theater for a fun and reminiscing as the Silver Foxes perform original radio shows from the golden age of radio. The show will feature original shows with a Valentine's Day theme, and you will be a part of the live studio audience.
Nice.
Do such good work, the gang over there. They're going to have a lot of fun with this one. They'll be joining us as well, probably on Morning Magazine or maybe on the morning show here.
Oh, cool.
We'll get to know and talk with them. And mm-hmm. another group that will be joining us on the morning show here or on Morning Magazine, A Streetcar Named Desire, the Tennessee Williams Classic. That'll be the main stage production in March 3rd. That's when that kicks off.
Mm-hmm.
You know this play. You know this movie. Don't have to go too in-depth on it. It is a one of those ones that just everybody knows. So you know, go ahead and check that one out. Again, March 3rd is when that premieres on the main stage. And then I wanted to remind everybody that coming up is going to be auditions for the final show of the main season for WRCT,
yes.
The Curious Savage. That will premiere in May, so if you have responsibilities plans in May that you may not be able to, probably can't audition, just to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be audition dates soon for that. Let me double check and make sure that, upcoming auditions, and that will be, audition dates are Monday and Tuesday, March 6th and 7th. 6:30 to 8:30 at the WRCT Theater, looking for parts for 5 men and 6 women.
Wow. It's a pretty big cast.
You can view the script by emailing Tim at cdwrct@solaris.net. cdwrct@solaris.net. A lot of great roles for that one. I may be auditioning for that.
Cool.
I am debating. I think I might. This last movie that I did, student film that I did for Columbia University in Chicago, wrapped up last week, really wrapped up this weekend. We kind of got together on Saturday to just go over some stuff, and we were actually going to refilm some things, but Friday night she went over everything, and she's like, we got it. It's good. So we just kind of hung out and talked a little bit.
Nice.
And I did want to wrap up just sending a big, big, big shout out to Rachel Bozaski. Rachel is a young voice, young name. I don't think anybody in the world knows her outside of her family and friends right now. But this young lady, if she keeps at this, I have no doubt will be a known name.
Nice.
She did just really good work. And when we first met, she wasn't sure if she wanted to continue doing this. And through this process has found her love again of theater, of acting, of writing, of all that. And I just want to empower her, encourage her. I know she's out there listening. Keep doing what you're doing.
Keep it up.
There's great work inside of you, and you deserve as much as the audiences of yours deserve to experience it.
Awesome.
So again, real quick, you can find out more information and get your tickets for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Plays at WRCT.org. It's WRCT.org. And find out more about Central Wisconsin Community Theater at CWACT.org. CWACT.org. Take a break. Come back with some That Ain't Right stuff, some good stories of the day. Plenty more coming up with Melissa and James on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here. Get you ready for Mel's News coming up in just a few. Some guys are brilliant in the kitchen, others not so much. Unless their brute force is needed to open a stubborn jar lid. And now those men are even more unnecessary. There's a video going viral online where a guy shares his trick for opening a difficult lid. You just take a spoon, stick it underneath the lid along one of the grooves, and gently pry the lid away from the glass. Okay. The suction will release, and you can easily twist the lid off. Now, this is not a new trick. There are previous examples of it online, and some comments say that they've been opening stubborn jars like this for decades. Still, it's new to some people. But be careful when doing this, because if the glass breaks or shatters, you'll have a huge mess. Or you could cut yourself or someone else, of course. I don't know how many times I have found that I thought I got everything, was positive I got everything, and I walk through there, and sure enough, in my sock, I find a piece of glass or something. Also, this is only for jars that are stuck because of the pressure when they were sealed. Sometimes a jar is stuck for a good reason, like having something dried in their threads.
Right. Sticky.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of trying to show this to Melissa a little bit here, but I don't think I really need to. I think you pretty much, I pretty much get the idea of this. And
right.
In fact, I'm pretty sure most of us have done this.
I've never done it by sticking a spoon under end. I've taken a butter knife and tapped the top of the lid.
Ooh,
because that also breaks the suction, and you're far less likely to crack the jar doing that way. But either one of those methods ruins the integrity of your lid.
I was going to say, if you want to reuse this again.
Right. If you want to reuse the jar, the lid is pretty much, trash then.
So, while I don't begrudge this guy and his technique or whatever, I also think it's a one-time use. Mm-hmm. It only works when you first bought the product.
Right.
It doesn't, what is the majority of times when you need help opening something? It's when somebody, like me, more times than not, has tightened it too tight.
Wrenched it down too far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I that's more of the issue.
Yeah, and now, if after you do that to the lid, because he just stuck the lip of the spoon, the very tip of the spoon up inside of there and pushed it so it moved the lid over. If you tip that jar, guess what's going to come out?
Yeah.
Pickle juice.
Pickle juice all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably wouldn't be a huge stream of it, but you're still going to get pickle juice coming out.
Yeah.
I think that the gripper pads that they have.
There you go.
Are a much better option because it gives you a lot more torque.
It's all about that.
The grip.
It doesn't matter how strong you are. It's the grip and the torque. That it's all that it takes. Man, woman, alien, dog, like anything with well, maybe not dogs. Anything with thumbs. Yes, anything with thumbs can do this. It's not that hard. Sometimes we look, I'll admit, there's moments in my life where it's felt darn good to open that jar for some. Here you go. Open that jar for you. I'm going to go outside now. Maybe just take a look at the sun for a little while. I've earned it. I admit that I have felt that way at times, but it is unnecessary. And you really don't need us for this.
Well, you know, I asked my boyfriend to open a jar not too long ago. Because I was like, I tried, and I was like, oh, I could probably get this if I really wanted to try really hard, but I don't. And he's standing right here, and I want to make him feel manly.
Yes.
Like, would you please open this for me? He had such a hard time with it.
Oh, that's...
I'm so glad that I didn't try really hard. Because, I mean, he got it.
Yeah.
He got it, but he really had to work at it.
I didn't think that part of it, though. I didn't think about that part of it.
And then I'm sitting there thinking, oh, man, I'm really glad I didn't try.
That's a good one. We'll take a break right here. We will get to Melissa's news. Come back with a, I don't know if it's a That Ain't Right story or not. We'll find out together when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday out there. Melissa and James here with you. And, I don't know if this is at any right, if it's a good story, if it's going to help people, if it's not. I'm not sure what to do with this one. Did you know you get drunk faster if you use Diet Coke as a mixer than regular Coke?
Really?
Did not know this one.
Why is that?
Here's why. According to a doctor from the UK, it's all about the sugar versus artificial sweetener. The sugar in regular Coke makes it so your stomach empties slower into the small intestine, which slows down the alcohol as it goes into your bloodstream. Diet Coke's artificial sweetener doesn't slow things down the same way. It's also why you get drunk faster on an empty stomach. There's nothing stopping the alcohol from going straight to your blood. So interesting.
Yeah.
So Diet Coke as a mixer gets you drunk faster. I don't know why, but I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't have thought of it that way. If somebody asked me this, I would have said the opposite. Not with no intelligence whatsoever, just completely spitballing. Just, you know.
Right. Well, the knowing that artificial sugars dumps food out of your stomach into your smaller intestine quicker is also worth noting. I mean,
no, hey,
what
absolutely.
Other implications does that have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's just the liquids, probably. It doesn't move along anything else faster.
Right. But still. I don't know. I feel like it's interesting to know, but I also don't I don't know what good it does us. I don't know how much this is going to help anybody.
Knowing that you get drunk faster drinking the diet in your drink is good to know.
Yes.
Knowledge-wise. But also, the more we learn about artificial sweeteners, the more we realize that they are bad for us.
See, there was something there that I knew was nagging at me a little bit. Like a little thread there. That's what it was. That's what I wanted. I knew there was something else there.
Well, and honestly, so I guess I've gotten used to the flavor of artificial sweeteners in diet soda, like Diet Pepsi. I can tolerate a Diet Pepsi. Do I like it? No. Am I going to drink it if it's the only option or if I need to be polite? Probably. But I'm not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other, like, so I bought something. It was like a, not a vitamin water. What kind of a vitamin water? But it had artificial sweetener in it, which I didn't realize when I bought it.
Huh.
And then I'm trying to drink it. And honestly, it made my stomach hurt. And I didn't like the taste of it. It's too sweet. It's just, I don't know. I'm not a fan. And then the more you learn about how bad artificial sweeteners are for you, the more I'm glad I don't like them.
I know they never sit well with me.
No.
I can usually tell if something has an artificial sweetener in it.
And maybe that's why it was having the effect on my stomach that it does. I have a rather sensitive stomach, obviously, as we've well documented on this station.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, people. So,
hey, look, this isn't our fault, all right? We don't even we get paid great here at Civic Media and everything, but nobody is making Rockefeller money in radio.
No,
we can't afford therapy, so maybe we have a little therapy on the air sometimes. I'm yes. sorry, mm-hmm. but it's we're just trying.
You can
to
commiserate about with me about my lack of being able to eat dairy and tomatoes.
New segment. New segment. We open up
group
the phone
therapy.
Lines for like a half an hour, for like 20 minutes. Just like one segment or something like that, where people can just call it a vent. Like, that's all it is, because none of us can afford therapy. So it's here is one of the bigger That Ain't Right stories I think we might do. And it comes to us from Reddit of the Weird, our friends over at Reddit and the great work that they do over there. Chair rage. Police hunt for man who chewed bus seat.
Chewed bus seat.
I always encourage people not to just read headlines, but every once in a while, you got to include the headline
yeah.
because that is just
like
that's an eye catcher right there. That's a pretty. Police in Devon are asking for help in finding a bus passenger who caused a bunch of damage by eating his seat, or at least a chunk of it. The young man was traveling on the bus in the England Reservoir, in England area, when he was apparently seized by an attack of hunger or boredom and began biting the leather seat. It is not entirely clear whether he swallowed the hunk of seat he or spat it out. The footage caught the suspect gripping a bottle of fizzy water afterwards, which he might have used to wash it down.
Oh, my goodness.
Devon and Cornwall police have chewed over the evidence since the incident and may have drawn a blank. So they have released a CCTV still of the chef chief suspect to help track them down. A police spokesman summed up the crime by, while traveling between Patagon and Torquay on a number 12 bus, a male passenger started chewing the leather seat he was sat on and continued to pick at a hole with his hand to make further damage, around $200 worth.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Well, so it's human nature to worry. A spot that's already, you know, like coming off. Like, think about how you are when you have a scab on your hand. You pick at it, and then suddenly it's bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Or a spot on your sweater that's already started to unravel a little bit, and you worry it until it. So that I can see, but the biting and the chewing, is he three?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Ooh,
I mean,
yeah.
To be fair. There are still teeth marks in the pew where my family used to sit when I was a kid in church up until, and it had to been like 7, 8, because I have a gap in my front teeth, and that gap is very prominent in my teeth marks on the pew,
because
I would just kind of sit there and gnaw on the bench during prayer.
That's rough.
But leather? I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I don't think
that's
as satisfying as chewing on a piece of wood like a beaver.
Yeah. I have a feeling. You know what? One of those things, I don't feel like I have to try to. I'm just going to take, you know, yes. I think that you have I think you make an actual point there, and I'm going to go with that. That ain't right.
No.
Take a break. Come back. We'll have some more fun. We'll take it to the top of the hour with some good stories of the day coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR. It is 9:45 on the clock. Melissa and James here to take you to the top of the hour with nothing but fun and some good stories of the day. Looking forward to getting into these.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to touch on this one first, Mel. Gardening could help reduce the risk of cancer, boost mental health, and bring communities together, according to new research.
All right.
Scientists say it leads to eating more ferocious fruits and vegetables, exercising more, and building social connections, which together can ease stress and anxiety and lower the risk of various illnesses.
All right.
In a classic case of correlation or causation, while it's known for that those who garden tend to be a healthier weight and eat more fruit and vegetables, it's unclear whether healthier people just tend to garden more or whether gardening influences health. Chicken or the egg kind of thing here
right.
and stuff.
Which one influences which?
To find the answer, Dr. Litt, a great name, L-I-T-T, that's yep. a good name, recruited 291 non-gardening adults with an average age of 41 from the Denver area. Half were assigned to the community gardening group, and the other half were put in a control group that was asked to wait 1 year to start gardening. The gardening group received a free community garden plot, some seeds, seedlings, and an introductory gardening course. Both groups were surveyed about their nutritional intake and mental health. They also underwent body measurements and wore activity monitors. The group started in spring, and by autumn, those in the gardening group were eating an average of 1.4 grams or 7% more fiber per day than the control group. It may seem like a small difference, but it isn't. Quote, an increase of 1 gram of fiber can have large positive effects on health, said the co-author James Herbert, director of the University of South Carolina's Cancer Prevention and Control Program. The gardening group also upped their physical activity by around 42 minutes per week and saw their stress and anxiety levels decrease, with those who came in the most stressed and anxious seeing the biggest drop in mental health issues.
Wow.
So, again, long story short, we're not telling you anything groundbreaking here necessarily. Gardening, people that garden tend yep. to be healthier, tend to be, but I think the mental health aspect of this, mm-hmm. I think, is noteworthy. And I think it's actually kind of fun that we have some science to back this up now.
Yeah. Getting your hands dirty, playing with plants. These are good for your body, good for your mind.
Quote, it's not just about the fruits and vegetables. It's also about being in a natural space outdoors together with others.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty darn good. It's just, again, I don't think this is any like, yeah, we knew that already. we understand that, but I don't think we had studies and science to back this up before.
Well, and the cool thing is all of these community gardens that you see cropping up in cities.
Mm-hmm.
Cropping up. Nice, I did it nice. This time.
Yeah.
because people that live in cities don't have the land. They don't have the space to be able to put in a garden. Sure, maybe you can put in one little raised bed in your front yard or your backyard, but what if you don't have a yard?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much you can do with pots. There is some you can do with that, but having the availability of these community gardens is really cool. And it does help you connect with other people that have that similar interest that you maybe wouldn't have otherwise.
Got a good story of the day here, and this one touches a little close to home for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was living in DeKalb, I was a part of an organization called PAWS. They do some amazing work in this country. PAWS is they take animals that are you know kind of so during Hurricane Katrina there were hundreds and hundreds of animals that were misplaced and all that. PAWS came in, they flew down to New Orleans, picked up all these animals and brought them to the Midwest. A lot of us living in the DeKalb area and the Naperville area and stuff took in a lot of these animals and fostered them. Some of them adopted them, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a great organization. Well, I heard about this story through them because I'm still in contact with a lot of people there, and I write some commercials for them still, nonprofit and mm-hmm. all that stuff and everything. Dog missing since August, wildfire rescued in heavily snowstorm.
Oh.
This is a story of rescue that took place amid driving snowfall and brutally cold temperatures, and this unlikely tale of survival that began months ago. It's just amazing. So this dog goes missing in August. He was saved by two women who had their snowshoes into the remote area and sled the freezing animal down the steep mountainside.
Whoa.
It all started on December 16th when a man skiing in the backcountry of Twin Peaks in South Lake Tahoe came upon a dog trapped in deep snow and posted about the animal on Facebook. According to a Facebook post on Tahoe Paws, the dog was in the snow, apparently unable to move, and was growling at the individuals who observed it. El Dorado County Animal Service Officer Kyle Schumacher was notified and was unable to access the area due to the 5-foot snow depths in steep terrain. And I'm going to show Melissa a picture of the dog here.
Oh, just his nose is sticking out.
Stuck and scared. Mm. And no wonder barking and not, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to probably protect itself. Who knows what other wild animals had come by and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy Jones is the founder and executive director and an amazing human being, by the way, of TLC for Furry Paws and Tahoe Paws. The nonprofit specializes in searching for, rescuing, and reuniting pets with their humans. As soon as she learned an animal needed help, she assembled a team of volunteers who immediately jumped into action. Even though it was getting dark, animal trackers Leon Allen and Eliza Gozel strapped on snowshoes and began the trek up the steep terrain to where they had hoped to find the dog. Allen, 61, told the San Francisco Chronicle that as she approached the animal, a pit bull terrier mix, she feared the dog was dead. In addition to the heavy snowfall, temperatures in Lake Tahoe area was at barely 6 degrees and oftentimes below. They were able to get the dog to calm down and take the dog, bring it in, and the dog is, you know, going to have a bit of a recovery process, but they were able to save this dog.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just amazing.
That's incredible.
Oh, really. And this story, you can find the complete article at AccuWeather.
Nice.
Go to AccuWeather.com for the complete article.
But
I do encourage people, if you have not heard of the organization PAWS before, encourage you to look into the work that they're doing. Really incredible people. I'm not saying you have to work with them or anything. Just read. Just read who they are.
Yeah.
I really encourage people to do that. And that's the kind of the case for a lot of things, Melissa, when it comes to, you know, reading, asking people to do a little homework on things. You did that recently. With a really good story of the day here. And I want to dive into that next.
Yeah. So our local Joseph J. White American Legion Post 442, they're holding a memorial fishery and raffle for Mark Simons, who was one of their members. He wanted to do this fishery. And unfortunately, he passed away before they were able to do it. Yeah. So the Legion is stepping up. Brad is kind of spearheading this. And right now they are selling raffle tickets for this that are going to be auctioned off, or that are going to be drawn, I should say, raffled at this fishery on the 28th. But the raffle tickets are on sale right now from this week, I mean, from the 15th through the 20th. You can buy them at 3 grocery stores: Pick and Save in Wisconsin Rapids, Nakusa Piggly Wiggly, and the Adams County Market, only from 12 to 2, because that's when these veterans will be there. And he also said to make sure, don't just drive up and expect them to be standing outside, especially if it's raining or it's cold. They're going to be inside. And a lot of these guys aren't able to, you know, stand for these 2 hours, so they'll be seated inside where it's warm. But stop in and buy these raffle tickets. Help these guys out, because they want to buy a plane for the Never Forgotten Honor Flight. And if they can raise $70,000 for this, they will be able to buy a plane that can do the Never Forgotten Honor Flight and prioritize our vets from our local community.
It's just incredible what the communities can do when they work together, when they put their minds together, their ideas together. And the fact that they thought of this is already a win. Now let's bring it home. Let's make sure that they are able to do this.
And if you want to participate in the fishery, those tickets are on sale next week at Lake Camelot. I don't remember the hours.
They're available noon to 2.
Nope. The fishery. Registering for the fishery at Lake Camelot.
Ah.
I want to say it's like 4 to 6 or 6 to 8. Or maybe it's like 2 to 6. Call Lake Camelot.
Yes.
Ask him when Brad's going to be there to sell for the fishery.
I have Brad's number here.
Yeah.
And Brad's number is 715-459-9053. That's 459-9053. Brad, Melissa's contact with a lot of this and everything. He'll definitely hook you up. He'll definitely take care of you.
And you can register the day of, too. On January 28th, the fishery will be at Camelot Lodge from 7 to 3 over there at Camelot Lake. And they've got a ton of really awesome prizes. And the kids' fishery, it's for ages 15 and under. The kids have free registration. And it's just a $10 registration for adults. So this is the first year they're doing this, and they want a really good turnout. They want to be able to help our vets take this honor flight.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great thing to be a part of, everybody, and we encourage you to do that. So find out more and contact Brad. Encourage you to do that.
Oh, yeah, 6 to 2. It says it right on here, Melissa.
Did it? I thought it did.
Tickets sold at Camelot Lodge from 6 to 2 next week.
That great reporting on this, Melissa. Really do appreciate the extra work that you did on that.
Well, thanks.
Of course, we got to talk a little bit about this, too. Our friends at Civic Media, our parent company, the people we love working for, had this fantastic idea of helping local businesses, of kind of giving back. We have had so much great support from our local businesses in all the towns that Civic Media lies in. We want to give back. We want to do something good. A lot of stations try things like this, and they will have an ad campaign that they think they're kind of giving you a deal, but not really. You know, they kind of, they're going to charge you this to give this or whatever or anything like that.
This is no strings attached.
Nothing. It's free. And it's $1 million. It's $1 million advertising giveaway. This is a chance for local business owners in Wisconsin to be empowered to help your business get a step up.
Get the word out.
Imagine that, okay, I've got to have this much amount of money side for advertising. I'm a young business. I'm just starting out. I know how important it is to advertise. I got to put this aside. Wait a minute. Civic Media is doing this? So wait a minute. I could take that money that I was going to do and I can put it into my employees, or I can put it into my business and buy better products, or et cetera, whatever I want to do with that money, I can do it. And Civic Media is going to help me out like this? Seems like a pretty good way to help out your community. Seems like a great way to put back into your communities.
Absolutely. You want to mark this date on your calendar, January 26th, starting at 9 a.m. You're going to head to civic.media/million. Civicmedia.us/million. There, I got it right that time.
Yeah, you did.
and then you can register to participate in this awesome ad giveaway.
Yeah. It's so much fun. You've only got 8 days, 23 hours, 1 minute and 50 seconds, 49 seconds, 48 seconds to go. I love this count. I love this tracker.
It's counting down. Bookmark the page. Set yourself a calendar reminder so that you get on there, because this is going to go on until the money is gone or midnight.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to last till midnight,
James. I don't think it's going to last till midnight. No, I do not think it will.
And then you do need to make sure that you let them know you heard it here. Yes. At the morning show.
Yes, please do that, everybody. Make sure to mention the morning show, mention WFHR. Give us a little bragging rights. Let's show them what our listenership, how big our listenership is.
Easy drop down menu.
Civicmedia.us/million. Civicmedia.us/million. And of course, you can go to civicmedia.us to find all of our podcasts. Great way to stream us, download the app, stream us that way as well.
And if you missed other shows, you can go back and listen to the podcast or listen to any of our sister stations across the Civic Media Network. Their podcasts are there as well.
I encourage you to do that and help us spread the word about these great, not only this great event that we're having, the $1 million advertising giveaway, but all these great people that we have on our network. We've got some amazing voices, amazing human beings, part of these things. And I want you to not only spread the word, certainly about us. I mean, yeah, definitely first and foremost. I'm joking. I'm kidding. But we just all of our team. We got a great team, great teammates here, and we want to encourage you to support them. Stick around. Got Morning Magazine coming up for you. In part one, we are going to speak with our friends from the Arts Council. We have some great people coming in for that. Of course, Sally Kistner and Brett Brittenocker and Tom Curry, tuba player with the Wisconsin Brass Quintet.
Is he going to bring his tuba?
I don't know. We'll find out. And Ben is going to join us from United Way. So we'll catch up with him in part two.
Oh, he'll probably tell you about the bingo.
Looking forward to it. Katrina Hittner sitting in with us tomorrow, Thursday. Melissa and Seth will be back with us. You have a good day, Melissa.
Yeah, you too, James.
We'll talk with you guys sooner than later. Be good to each other. It's WFHR, locally grown radio.